It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm sorry, everybody. Not sure what was going on there, but welcome. Good morning. Welcome to 2A Radio. I've just been having a little bit of a computer difficulty this morning. We're on top of it. Now, as promised, today I'm going to play for you the radio traffic that happened when Eric Scott was killed by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department on July 10th, 2010, outside of the Costco in the Summerlin area of Las Vegas. Now, just a little bit of background. I am formerly a Las Vegas Metro Patrol officer, which is, of course, the sorts of cops that showed up. I also grew up in Las Vegas. I've been in this area for over 30 years. I did my time on Metro, and I also shop at that particular Costco. I should say, up until recently, I have shopped at that particular Costco. I will be, now you will not see me shopping there any longer. You'll see me shopping at the competition at Sam's Club. Sam's Club's not quite as easy for me to get to, but I'm going to be shopping there because it seems as though the employees at Costco have a vested interest in, I guess, making sure that, the people who shop, the customers at Costco, don't carry guns, at least at this particular one. So, I shop at that Costco. I have packed openly in that Costco. Not concealed. I have packed openly in that same Costco in times past. As a matter of fact, 8 days after Eric Scott was gunned down in the front of that store, 8 days later on a Sunday, a week and a day after that, I went into that Costco with my shirt tucked in and a full-size Glock 22 on my hip, displayed that everyone could see. I was stopped at the door, harassed by some jackass who worked there with his entire arm in a cast. And all he was doing was talking around the subject and detaining me at the front door. Until finally I asked him, I said, "Why am I being detained? Do you understand that I have a right not to be detained by unreasonable search and seizure? This is becoming an unreasonable seizure. I don't have any information on who you are or what authority you have to detain me at this front door while you talk on your little microphone walkie-talkie deal. What is the problem?" "Well, sir, you're carrying a gun." "You're absolutely right, I'm carrying a gun." "Well, if you read the rules and regulations that we have, there are no guns permitted in Costco. So you want me to put it away?" "Yes." "Why didn't you just say so?" So I went back to my car and I asked her, I said, "What the hell is wrong with you? Why didn't you just say so?" I put that gun back in the car, but I had my concealed gun on me after that. So I'm not going to go into a place where the employees are accessories to murder and spend my money. I certainly won't go in there unarmed. So, as soon as we come back from the break, we'll be playing the Eric Scott radio traffic from Las Vegas Metro. It's in sequence, but I've shortened out all the dead time so that there's not a bunch of dead air time here. But we'll have that when we come back. Stay tuned. All right, guys, we're going to shorten that up just a little bit because we happen to have this tape from the Las Vegas Metro Police Traffic, the audio traffic that's going on between the radios. Now, I have cut out all the dead air time on it. However, it's still in sequence. So listen to all of this. This is all the air traffic. Pardon me. Wrong file. Here we go.
Victor 3 of 413 at Costco, 801 South Pavilion Center. The mail is inside the business to the rear of, has a 413 that's tucked in the back of his pants. Where's the landline?
413 is man with a gun.
I'm going to go to Costco first.
Air 5, copy. A 10914, if you could be en route with Air 5 on the 413 at Costco in Victor 3, 801 South Pavilion Center.
You can assign me as well.
10916, copy.
You can hear all the cops calling to come in.
16, if you also be en route on the 413 at Costco, 801 South Pavilion Center. The male inside the business is acting erratic, throwing merchandise around, possibly high on unknown 446.
That's drugs, 446.
Copy, Suncoast.
To Victor 16, they are requesting CIT. Male is possibly ED 767. Did you copy?
Erratic and dysfunctional.
Can you route out, please?
767.
So now we have about six cops on their way.
767.
And that medical also en route just to stand by for us.
767, copy.
So at this point in time, all they have is a man with a gun that's tucked into his waistband, and now they're even having medical roll by while six or seven cops are on their way.
55, can you clear me, B. Baker, and show me a route to Costco?
2 Victor 55, affirmative.
That means he wrote somebody a ticket, now he's on his way.
Code. 2 Victor 16.
Now, you hear that? He's rolling code, and several other cops will be as well. To roll code, it has to be a priority zero call, which means, by definition, a felony in progress. At this point in time, not a single felony has been announced, or even suspected.
351. 351. Have those units shut down code when they get close. Let's not get this guy any more excited than he already is.
351, copy. A unit's shut down code when you get close to the Costco.
So now they're predisposed to a homicidal maniac.
Right on the 413 at Costco, 801 South Pavilion Center. Suspects described as a white male, 32, 5'8", medium build, red hair, wearing a gray t-shirt, blue jeans, and white shoes. Break. Black 9mm tucked to the rear of his pants.
How did they know what caliber it was?
67, can you advise where you'd like medical to stage for now?
Just have them stage at the nearest intersection to that Costco. And if they, if you can have them not roll code, that'd be great also.
767, copy. Did you want other units to shut down code?
Just wanted to shut it down before they get close to that area, because I don't want to spook this guy.
Okay, copy. A unit just reminding to shut down code when you get close to the area.
Now they've got half a squad rolling code to a Costco saying, shut down beforehand, we don't want to spook this guy, because they're going off all the false information that was given to them by the Costco employees.
767.
A few more units that can head to that area also so we can shut down that parking lot so that nobody goes in or out of there.
No crime has been committed. No crime has been committed, and they want to shut down the parking lot.
2X12. X-65.
351, where's the CP going to be?
67, can you advise?
CP.
I'm not even close there right now, so if we have a unit that's in there that can set up one real quick, that'd be great.
94, I'm all right. I'm Costco parking lot. Where do you want?
CP is a command post, and 351WC is the watch commander, which means the chief lieutenant over all patrol over the entire Las Vegas Valley that shift.
2 Victor 54, at this time, I guess, setting up a CP. It looks like the subject is still inside the business, argumentative with the manager who asked him to leave, telling him there's no 413s allowed inside the business break. The manager is a Green Beret and is allowed to carry a 413.
Another lie by the Costco employees.
Around. He's still in aisle 126 in the camping area, right? Be fidgety. A female joined the male. She's described as Hispanic, 30s, black long hair, wearing black tank and blue jeans. He's going to be standing outside the business in front of to wait for officers to direct, right? he's walking through the camping area towards the front of the business on the main aisle.
54, do you want me to stop people from going into business?
767 at the affirmative, is stop in or out? Victor 54, affirmative. Victor 54, did you want to read?
Code red for the channel.
Okay, copy.
Which means no other traffic but this.
2X65.
This is from the WCM Sarge. If we can get the management and employees to start slowly evacuating people out of the business without alerting anybody, that'd be a great idea.
2351 WCM, shortly.
Now, that's somebody who ever X65 is, and then the watch commander agreeing with that. Again, all they have is a guy is in a Costco with a gun tucked into his shorts. It's concealed. That's all they have.
Acknowledge that.
54. Matter said it's escalating inside. He's still talking loud.
Again, as reported.
Victor 54, copy. Victor 54, are you able to get security started on evacuation? Okay, copy.
Now, that was a guy, Victor 54. Here's near the front door. He couldn't possibly hear the guy. He's just hearing it from another Costco employee that said, oh, yeah, he's still talking loud back there. There's no crime in speaking loudly.
Victor 16, I'm out with Victor 54.
To Victor 16.
No.
Plaintiff, code of the channel. Officers arriving on the 413 at Costco, 801 South Pavilion Center.
Code red means no traffic on any of the calls.
We're going to clear these people out of here. We're attempting to evacuate right now. Get as many people out as possible.
Because they're expecting
Victor
a gunfight
16,
now.
Copy.
Still no crime has been committed.
512, where's the CP? To Victor 54, can you advise location of CP?
Being command post.
They're both right at the front entrance
of the store. Air 5,
come. That's the air unit. Now the helicopter's there.
767-784, I'm arriving. What can I help you all with?
If you can set up the CP, that'd be great.
That's some sort of supervisor.
Copy, I'll set one up.
Now, quietly evacuating was an announcement.
Air 5, it looks like we're still landlined. Mail is apparently still being watched by inside personnel due to them ripping open packages. They're concerned of a 414A.
Petty larceny.
Copy. We've got a very orderly meeting going on right now. Trying to get all these people out of here, and then 65, what are we going to do next?
They're watching them concerned of petty larceny.
Goods is directly in the middle of the building.
Okay, copy. Confirming suspects directly in the center of the building?
Goods aisle.
You broke on the aisle, if you could re-advise.
784, copy location for IC.
784.
Going to be set up in the northwest parking lot of the Red Rock Casino across from Charleston, the Costco command. I'll be incident commander until arrival of 351WC.
784, copy. 351WC. Incident command at northwest parking lot of Red Rock Casino across from Charleston.
Charleston is a huge road. Charleston's a major street. Now, I'm going to play that for you again. You can actually hear some screaming, and you can hear a shot over the radio or two. Listen.
Victor 16, copy. Anyone down?
Roll medical.
Victor 16.
Go ahead and make the notification. Go notify supervisor.
Victor 16, copy.
Everybody stand on the line. Stand in the building. Is it safe for everybody else to enter the building?
Victor 16, can you advise?
Standing in the pool of 413 and pointing in my direction.
Already covering his tracks. That's not supposed to be announced on the radio.
Can you go ahead and make your notifications, please?
767, copy.
Shut that parking lot down, please.
The unit's arriving on the 413. Shut down the parking lot.
They've got them out front. They're taking them into custody. Hold the traffic.
Air 5, copy. Subject is out front, taking into custody.
Let's make sure nobody else exited that Costco for right now. We may need them for witness statement.
767 copy. Units, make sure no one else exits the CASA. They may need for witness purposes.
Before students out there taking him into custody, we're going to move the CP closer to the Burger King directly across from the Costco.
Copy that. CP will be moving closer to the Burger King.
Not if they even need a command post. The guy's shot.
We have medical standing by, because if they are, if we're code 4, let's get them up there.
They're en route.
784. All the additional responding units, I still got traffic coming in on Town Center. And
now what they're doing is they're in the process of shutting everything down, guys.
The other side, and we need to lock down all the intersections into the Costco.
784. Units arriving will need to lock down all entrances into the Costco off of Town Center and on the other side.
6-1, we got one of those.
VP 6-1, copy. 2 Victor 16, just confirming officers are code 4.
Officers are code 4.
Copy.
Victor, you're there. I just confirmed you have him in custody there.
351, that's affirmative. He is in custody.
351, copy that. Unit suspect is in custody, 801 South Pavilion Center. 351, did you want to keep the rest?
71-76, can you have medical come in, please? They're just sitting there.
Okay, copy.
Okay, guys, so what we have is we have all of this stuff going down where the guy's shot, they have him in custody, everything's good and happy for the cops. However, Eric Scott is still down, he's now dead, medical hasn't even gotten to him yet. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back. So you heard it. You heard the radio traffic from Las Vegas Metro. Now, here's the thing is that was not released by Las Vegas Metro. Evidently, there's a group of amateur radio guys from across the country that different guys in different areas constantly have all of the different police radio traffic hooked up to computers that record it. And they record all of the available radio traffic that's not otherwise coded or somehow scrambled. Well, Las Vegas Metro doesn't have coded or scrambled radio traffic. So this is recorded directly off of these guys' scanners. So that's where this came from. And, of course, Las Vegas Metro says, well, we haven't compared it to our tapes yet to see if it's authentic. Guys, I worked for the department. I know the codes. I know how things go. I know the mentality. I know the mindset. Literally, the only thing that they said that somebody might have thought was a crime was they said they're watching him. They see he's tearing open boxes. They're concerned about a possible 414A. 414A is petty larceny. They're concerned about possible shoplifting. But the guy has a gun, he's talking loud, and he's opening up boxes. So they have everybody from the area rolling code to a possible idea of a misdemeanor. Possible idea of a misdemeanor. We have eyes on by the employees. They're on the phone with the cops. They call 911.
when you call 911, they ask, what is your life-threatening emergency? Now, I can't wait to hear the 911 tapes. Something along, there's a man with a gun who's tearing open the box. Now, here's the deal. You might be willing to just give the information to whoever answers a 911 operator, whenever they answer. Until they answer, 911, what is your life-threatening emergency? You don't want to get hung up on. You don't know the non-emergency number, so you start getting excited and saying, there's a man with a gun who's tearing open the merchandise that we have. Because 911 operators will hang up on you if it's not a life-threatening emergency. And most people don't know the non-emergency number to their local police department. They don't know it. All they know is 911. That's all we've been taught for decades and decades is 911. That's for life-threatening emergencies. So if you don't have one, you're going to start amping up the conversation. Ooh, wow, they might hang up on me. I might be in trouble if it's not a life-threatening emergency. I better make this good. And that's exactly what happens. So 911 has a little bit of blame in there, right? Certainly the system does. Then you get these employees who don't know anything at all about carrying a gun. Some anti-gun puke, somebody who's never had any access to guns, knows nothing about them, thinking that a gun itself makes an otherwise good, honest, law-abiding, intellectual citizen a homicidal maniac merely by being in possession. It's like kryptonite to Superman, where he loses his powers. Only a gun in the hands of a normal person, it now gives them homicidal powers, where they want to be just some sort of the next Mr. or Mrs. mass shooting. That's what the anti-gun people really believe, because they don't know any better. They're either ignorant or outright stupid. Now, ignorance can be fixed. Ignorance means you simply don't know something. You simply don't understand. Stupid? Yeah, you're just plain stupid. Ignorance, you can give them the information. Stupid can't be fixed. Now, Las Vegas Metro went so far as to have all of the arriving cops, including two K-9 officers and the air unit, including the lieutenant for the shift and the lieutenant watch commander for the entire Las Vegas Valley, and extra supervisors, the 767, the 586, all those numbers, all of those are supervisors, running to set up a command post for a perceived possible petty larceny by a guy carrying concealed. And you heard the cop get on there and say, he pointed a gun at me. Absolutely not right. He did that to cover his backside. And you heard at least three shots over the microphone as they're keying it up and other guys are shooting. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening right here to 2A Radio.
Listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Somebody get a silencer for this guy. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Alright guys, welcome back. Now, there is a Costco thread on Facebook. And Dave Champion sent me a text message last night, a good colleague of mine who's in radio that got me into radio. And he said, you know, check out the threads of what's going on Facebook. So I did. As a matter of fact, I would like to share with you some of the things that are going on. There's some guy by the name of Ben Hartlin who is he's not American and he's just out of line, claiming that Eric Scott must have been really much more at fault than anybody else in this. Dave says, Ben Hartland exemplifies the sorry state of Americans today. He ignorantly claims that Eric Scott was as much as at fault. Oh, really? Apparently, Ben forgets that Americans have the right to keep and bear arms. And Eric was licensed for concealed carry. And none of the things happened that the Costco security employee claimed. How do we know this? Because if the tape showed that Costco employee's version was accurate, Costco would have already released them rather than endure a firestorm of criticism. Hartland would rather blame the victim than condemn his favorite store. How disgusting. He probably thinks that women asked to be raped by wearing provocative attire. And Ben Hartland actually responds. He says, sorry to burst your bubble, Dave, but I'm not an American, nor would I ever care to be. I'd like to thank you for insulting me and implying that I advocate sex crimes. It only serves to demonstrate your intelligence. In fact, it does show intelligence because it shows how your mind separates different one-way streets. He continues by saying, you advocate a law that is generations old and serves no current-day purpose but to get people killed. Guns are used to kill people. That's it. That's all. So again, more complete ignorance. I'm not blaming Eric. I'm blaming the American fear-mongering mentality that supports itself by allowing guns in the hands of people who do not need to carry them. Eric is a victim of this policy. Don't need to carry them. So we have somebody who knows nothing about guns now lecturing us on need. He says, I have rights, and they include going out into public and not getting shot by someone. I also have a right to my opinion and not to be slandered for it. Okay, you have the first right. The second one, no. You can offer your opinion, but if you offer it in public, the public, you leave it out there to get slammed. Here's my response. Hartland seems to be affected with the same utopian disease that the rest of the Europeanized countrymen do. Having a right to not be shot is not recognized by the criminals who see you as the mere victim of their latest criminal action. Therefore, our American forefathers recognized the right from birth to arm themselves against criminal attack, tyrannical government, and foreign invaders. You are otherwise a subject, as opposed to being a citizen. In the last century, subjects from around the world were murdered by an average of 1 million people per year for the entire century by their government, criminals of their own kind. Hartland says that our law is generations old. It's not a law, it's a right granted by our Creator and recognized by the founders of this great nation. So, not so sorry to burst Hartland's bubble. Crime and violence against peaceable men by the criminally inclined is older than man itself. Unless the mindset of the violent criminals can be removed from human existence, the need to protect yourself will always exist. However, if you are so soft in the belly that you choose to offer yourself as a defenseless and passive victim to the next criminal who targets you, then that's your choice as a submissive member of the human race. I have never understood that mindset. However, I do recognize that Hartland possesses such a mindset, thus making the sort of victim criminals count on. Placing a gun in the hand of an intellectually and emotionally stable man does not turn him into a homicidal, testosterone-laden maniac. Quite the contrary. Arming yourself for the purposes of defending your life and the lives of your family demonstrates intellect and fortitude to carry the torch of a righteous man and a responsible member of both society and the human race. By all accounts, Eric Scott was among us. He belonged to the group of sheepdogs, where the majority of men are the grass-feeding sheep, such as Hartland. They only wish to keep their heads buried and hope the wolves will never come. At all times, the wolves are out there. They always have been and they always will be. And those wolves prey on the sheep. The only thing that protects the sheep from the wolves are the sheepdogs, and they are a lonely class. The sheep don't trust the sheepdogs, nor do they like them. However, their lives rely on the sheepdogs whether they wish to acknowledge it or not. And the wolves know the sheepdogs are out there protecting the flock and ready. The sheepdogs don't hunt, rather they stay close to the sheep to protect them. They don't look for a fight, rather stand prepared in case a fight is brought to them. We sheepdogs are unappreciated by the sheep and feared by the wolves. We accept that the sheepdog is the most noble of the group, and having the inner peace of the nobility comforts us in knowing we are the few, the righteous, and the noble. Enjoy feeding in the pasture, Heartland, as I will protect you nonetheless. If the situation presents itself, because I am the righteous, I am the noble. However, I feel saddened that a fallen sheepdog in the name of Eric Scott was taken from us. R.I.P. Eric Scott. That was my response, followed up by just one. He says, Bill, Day Champ, he says, Bill, you're a gracious man. I think more gracious than I am. I don't know what I would do if I saw Heartland being viciously attacked by a violent felon. If he does not respect my right of self-defense, the most fundamental of all of our rights, I owe him nothing. In fact, if he acts to take away my right of self-defense, he becomes my enemy. Which, good points. But that's what's going on actually on the Costco page. Virtually every post, with very, very few exceptions, Eric Scott is the topic on here. Now, his father, Bill Scott, actually was banned from posting on here, and there was an uprising enough where they allowed him to post again. As a matter of fact, he says, thanks, Dave. Mr. Heartland, my son, Mr. Heartland, my son Eric was hardly gun happy. He carried a legal concealed weapon and a permit issued by the same Metro Department that shot and killed him. Because he had to service peacemaker patients in some fairly rusty areas of Las Vegas, and at any time of day or night, most PACE reps carry, as do many lawyers, physicians, business leaders, etc. in Vegas. Anti-gun people will never understand the right of self-protection, which is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment. And I'm glad Bill Scott has his head on absolutely right. The right is guaranteed. A lot of people say the right is given to us. That couldn't be further from the truth. No rights are given to you. You are given permissions. Rights are granted by the Creator when you are born and recognized at the moment you're born. Now, are there laws that would otherwise subvert your rights? Well, absolutely there are. Absolutely there are. But those laws are unconstitutional. And they fall by the wayside on a pretty regular basis. The thing is, we still have politicians that otherwise wish to try to subvert them again and again and again and again and again. So, with that being said, we're going to move on just a bit. I have really spent a lot of time on Eric Scott because he deserves it. When it comes to the people who would otherwise think that he was somehow the bad guy in this, it just really, really makes me kind of sick. So I'm going to read this story. It's about a week old. It says, 1 month after McDonald. 1 month ago, the Supreme Court held in McDonald v. City of Chicago that states, not just the federal government, are prevented from violating Americans' Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Supreme Court did not, however, define the full scope of the right, nor the standard of review by which challenged statutes will be judged, which would have been massively helpful. In other words, it isn't over yet. A number of pending lawsuits across the country will further shape how the Second Amendment will be applied. The first lawsuit of note comes from Chicago. As soon as the Supreme Court struck down the city's handgun ban at McDonald, Mayor Richie Daley worked with the city council to pass a very restrictive gun control regime to take the ban's place. The National Rifle Association promptly filed suit challenging, among other things, a ban on having more than one assembled and operable firearm in the home at any time, a rule forbidding gun owners to carry firearms in their own garages, on their porches, and places of business, and a policy outlawing gun shops and shooting ranges in the city in spite of training and range time the city requires for obtaining a permit. California, which has long been the darling of gun control groups for its heavy firearm restrictions, is also facing a day in court. gun show promoters have been litigating their right to have a show on Alameda County grounds, an action barred by a county ordinance. A three-judge panel decided last April that the Second Amendment applied to California, anticipating the conclusion in McDonald, but found the ban on gun shows on county property was still somehow constitutional. That came out of the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit voted to rehear the case en banc, that is, all 11 judges would review the decision of the three-judge panel, but in light of McDonald, that order has been rescinded and the case remanded to the original panel for reconsideration. Rescinding an en banc rehearing is an unusual turn of events, but nothing follows the norm in this suit. The panel has asked for further briefing from the parties, indicating that it may reverse itself on the constitutionality of the gun show ban. Also, the Supreme Court has vacated a decision of the Second Circuit upholding New York's ban on nunchucks and remanding the case for reconsideration in light of its holding in McDonald. Though the McDonald case focused on firearms, the text of the Second Amendment encompasses arms in general, and the Second Circuit will provide some guidance to the constitutional protection of martial arts weapons. Just up the Hudson River, Alan Gura, the attorney who carried the day in the Heller and McDonald decisions, filed suit to challenge the discretionary permitting system for handgun carry in Westchester County, New York. At issue is whether permit applicants can constitutionally be required to show a, quote, unique heightened need for self-defense apart from the general public, end quote, in order to carry a gun. The Second Amendment allows for no such restrictions on the right to bear arms, and by the time a need for self-defense arises, think, for example, of a woman who's being stalked, a potential victim needs to be able to carry a gun right now, not after being put through paperwork and waiting for government approval. Could you imagine? Oh, a woman just might be savagely raped, and nobody gave her a telegraph weeks or months in advance that, hey, you know, by the way, I'm thinking I might savagely rape you in the next 6 to 12 weeks. So you can try to apply for a gun and get one to get some training between now and then. It doesn't work that way. The New York right to carry case joins a similar suit that Gura filed against the District of Columbia in the wake of the Heller decision. California gun activists have an existing lawsuit challenging the concealed carry policies of Yolo and Sacramento counties that will now be reconsidered in light of the McDonald decision. At least one Wisconsin prosecutor has declared that he will no longer enforce the state's ban on concealed carry because of the recent Supreme Court action. Wisconsin is one of two states that offers no provision for concealed carry. Illinois, their neighbor, is the other. Yet another Alan Gura lawsuit is a challenge to North Carolina's emergency power statutes. In essence, whether a state of emergency is declared at any time of government in the Tar Heel state, firearm sales or transfers are outlawed, as is carrying a firearm off one's own premises, even for those with concealed handgun permits. That doesn't sound unreasonable at first, but officials have declared at least a dozen emergencies since September 2004, usually encompassing the entire state. That is an on-off switch for an enumerated right? It shouldn't be. We have rights all the time, and government can turn them off at will? No. The future of the scope of the Second Amendment is unclear, but McDonald has guaranteed that, at least, a liberty the founders considered worthy of a constitutional amendment will be taken seriously in courts across the entire country. So, what do we have now? We have governments that have laws that are unconstitutional. They're unwilling to change them themselves. So now we have to dig deep into our own pockets for our own money, hire the best of attorneys to challenge those laws, because the governments will otherwise be giving up just a little bit of their power that they don't want to. That itself should be a crime. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today. As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
So here we go, guys. We have a battle in front of us. In every single town, community, county, and state, from the block you live on to this entire nation, we have a fight on our hands, and unfortunately out of our pocketbooks, against what are now unconstitutional laws banning or subverting the right to self-protection. Here's my suggestion. Take key provisions of the McDonald decision, which is available online in a PDF format. The Heller decision was incorporated within the McDonald decision. Find these different notes. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should get together with some of my other pro-gun guys, and we should do this. So you can take all of these different provisions that are written, get rid of all the blasé BS that was written in this 128-page or whatever it was decision, the way-too-long decision. Just get the key provisions out of it. Take a copy of it. Take a copy of the local town ordinance, the county ordinance, the state law, which is in direct violation of the McDonald and Heller decisions, and show that to the entire city council, county commission, state legislature. Also, take it to any district attorney, city attorney, attorney general of your state with a letter explaining all of the provisions of these laws on our local books, as you can plainly see, are in direct violation of the decisions in Heller and McDonald. Heller was incorporated within McDonald. They all work out. These decisions are now unconstitutional. We need you as the city attorney, the district attorney, the attorney general of the state, whatever it is, to recognize this and to advise the police or law enforcement under your jurisdiction, not to enforce these laws, as they are now unconstitutional. And then you need to get your legislatures to go over there, go over the same laws and say, look, we recognize this. We need to make changes or just simply repeal either the entire law or certain provisions. And be proactive about it. Try to keep from having to actually go to court and spend tons of money. Try to get it done at the executive level, which is where the cops would come and they would prosecute, and the legislative level, where they can fix it because they're the ones who wrote it. rather than the judicial level, because that doesn't necessarily mean that the cops are going to stop enforcing it, or that the legislature will ever reverse it. Go to them directly. Maybe I should work on that with some guys. We'll try that over the weekend, guys. Thanks very much for tuning in today.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.